1 John chapter 5, we'll read the first 5 verses. We'll pray and then you'll be seated. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. If you love God, you will love those who also are saved. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You ever hear people, "Oh, you know, doing what the Bible says is restrictive." No, it isn't. Disobedience, as we mentioned last Sunday night, is very restrictive. His commandments are not grievous. In fact, they're a blessing. "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray tonight in these few minutes that we spend in the message that you would help us to want to have the victorious Christian life. And then afterwards, Lord, we'll rejoice in what you've done in our church in this past year. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Victory in Christ. God wants us to live in victory. Now, I've mentioned many times, years ago in the early days of the church, I was the athletic director. I coached all of our teams, some very painfully, by the way. We used to have a girls' basketball team. That was ridiculous, okay? And that was very hard to coach. It was bad. We had one of our girls, Melita, she got booted out of the game because she had fingernails that long, and they were like painted purple, and the refs, "You can't have that." So we had girls' basketball. We had girls' volleyball, and we still kind of do. And then we had boys basketball, we had boys volleyball, boys football. I coached all of them. And let me say this, I hated to lose. I hated to lose. Now, it wasn't a bad sport, okay, most of the time. I did not like to lose. Remember one time, our football team, last game of the season, we're undefeated, we're number one seed going to the tournament, we're playing one of the other teams. My quarterback got in a car accident, showed up late, his back was sore. I had a bunch of players out, and I knew that we're probably going to lose this game, but it didn't matter because we're all the number one seed. So I'm like, I already had it in my mind, like, I know we're probably going to lose. Let's put a good fight in. We're getting ready for the tournament. We'll have everybody back. We'll beat everybody in the tournament. It's all good. It's not a big deal. And we stayed really close. It was like 7-7. They scored a touchdown. It was 14-7. And I'm like, man, I'm really proud of our guys. And we lost. I told myself, it's not a big deal. But when I held them up after the game, I just couldn't say that. I got on, I'm like, "How dare you lose?" I'm like, and then they're like, "Brother, you know, hey, we had 6 people injured." "I don't care, be quiet." So that's kind of how I was. I didn't like to lose. Now, let's look spiritually here. God wants us to live in victory. Okay, God has victory for us. And by the way, the thing that's good about spiritual victory is we don't have to be victorious at the expense of somebody else being, I hate to be afraid, not a loser, but non-victorious, okay? Second place. Second place is okay, except if there's only 2 teams, all right? That's not good. But it's God offers us a wonderful Christian life. Most people live in defeat. And so we don't want to do that. John 10:10 says this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life." What kind of life? "And that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus offers us not only eternal life, he also offers us the abundant life. The problem is, too many of us who are Christians, we live like the children of Israel lived, wandering in the wilderness when God has the promised land available for us. By the way, the wilderness wasn't like, some beautiful forest with all these trees. When you think wilderness, think desert. Okay? How many ever driven through the desert? I couldn't live in the desert. Now, what if God called me to go, you know, go minister in the desert? He'd have to call, he would have to text, he'd have to email, I need a letter, and I would need him to be in my room at night. I'm not going to just go unless God really shows me I'm going to go to the desert. I don't like it. It's barren, okay? That's the picture of the Christian life. Most Christians live their Christian life in the desert. It's barren. When God says, hey, cross the Jordan River, we have a life that's flowing with milk and honey. But we choose the opposite. How can we experience victory? Let me give you three brief things tonight in the few minutes I have left. First of all, of course, it begins with salvation in Jesus Christ. That's always a starting point. The first three verses talks about that. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So the whole thing starts when we believe in Christ. Realize this, the moment that you got saved, you now have the opportunity to live the victorious life in Christ. But you've got to want to. Before that, anything we had or we thought was a victory was nothing more than a cheap, fake substitute. Philippians chapter 3 says this, Paul talking about his old life. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. What is dung? It's exactly what you think it is. That I might win Christ. Paul said, everything I had in my past, everything that was gained to me, that's no good, that's worthless, that's out of the way. My one goal is that I may win Christ. You realize when we go soul winning and you share the gospel and somebody gets saved, their life can be drastically changed and they can now have a victorious Christian life. Victory does not come by human effort, but by God's Spirit who dwells in us. And when does he start to dwell in us? The moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So it begins with Christ. We believe in Christ, and then he tells us in verse 2, we start to love the brethren. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. By the way, victory in the Christian life is a team effort. It's a team effort. Nobody succeeds in the Christian life by themselves. Here's these people, all I need is the Bible, and I need Jesus, and I need God. I don't need the church. I don't need anybody else. I've never met one dynamic Christian that is not attached to a good, godly, Bible-preaching, fundamental church. Never met one. Never met one, and you're not going to meet one. God wants us to love the brethren. He also tells us we'll obey the Bible. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. By the way, let me just say this. I get so sick and tired of people say, well, you know, we just focus on love. By the way, you ought to focus on love. You ought to focus on love. But see, we think if you focus on love, you can never encourage someone to do what God says. That's restrictive. The word they'll use for it is legalism. Okay? Oh, you Christians believe in list. Do this. Don't do that. Now, if you're talking about the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt. No, we don't believe in lists, but we do believe in obedience to the Word of God. That is not legalism. When someone says that, they are liberal. They don't have a correct mindset and theology of the Word of God. Legalism is adding works to salvation. That's what legalism is. Someone says you have to get saved and do this. That's legalism. Years ago, I had someone knock on our door when we were on the east side of Long Beach, and they said, I told them I was a Christian. I thought they were out soul winning. They said, have you been baptized? I said, yes, I've been baptized. They said, good, because you have to be saved and baptized to go to heaven. And I'm like, no, you don't. Okay? That's legalism. Encouraging someone, look, at his commands are not grievous. They're a blessing. Man, look, we were talking about giving. We took the offering. Giving is not grievous. It's a blessing. God uses that money. By the way, thank you. The church has been great, faithful in their giving and their tithes and offerings. Thank you for that. And by the way, last Sunday morning when we had our new members reception, all those new people down there, that's a result of the fact that we're faithful in our giving and we're faithful in our going and people are being helped. Thank you for that. But we obey the Bible. Love and encouraging others to live what the Bible says are not exclusive of each other. And by the way, let me say this. In our Sunday school class, we talked about the love of the truth. some people now, the big thing is we focus so much on love that we're getting at the integrity of truth. In other words, long as we love each other, let's not bring up anything that's divisive. Well, if it's a Bible doctrine that's being neglected, we got to bring it up. That's not divisive. That is right. We had these folks in the early days of our church. We were a Cambodian church. We were meeting over at the First Friends Church, and we met at 1 in the afternoon. And so I remember Pastor and I being in the office earlier while they were having their service, getting ready for ours, and there was this group with a false doctrine that infiltrated that church. And Pastor and I, many times we're in the office and we'd hear them. They would just stand up in the middle of the service and the invitation and start praying and start spouting off some doctrine that wasn't godly. And by the way, the leaders in the church did nothing about it, and they split that church. They came to their church one time, they were starting to come and seep into our church a little bit. And I remember they wanted to stand up and say, hey, sit down. This isn't a time for you to stand up. I think one time Pastor had me speak, and they were in the service, and they were making some. I said, hey, look, if you don't believe like we believe, we have something for you. It's called a door. Leave. We're not going to have you stand up and espouse some doctrine we don't have. You can leave now. Say, that was mean-spirited. No, it wasn't. Because love says, why do we want someone to come in here and spout some false doctrine? So it starts with birth. I don't know how we got off on that. But we're saved in Christ. Victory also, it starts with salvation. It continues in faith. Verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, the faith that we have once we're saved allows us to overcome the world. Last week, we talked about Eve and her situation when basically she started espousing all that was in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And once she bought into that, she disobeyed God. She was overcome by the world. Well, when we're saved and we have faith and we're living in the Bible and we love God and we're being obedient, we overcome all the nonsense that the world has to offer. All the philosophies, all the anti-God nonsense that's going on. We overcome it by faith. On Thursday, when we were talking about the benefits of the Bible, we talked about how in Romans, the Bible tells us that sin, as a Christian, we ought to be dead to sin. Sin should not have dominion or dominate our lives. Isn't that a shame that so many Christians have sins in their life they just can't get over? And it ruins their life. Now look, we all struggle with sin because we're in the flesh. But can I just tell you something? Sin should not take you down. Sin should not have dominion over your life. By the way, we have an argument in ministry, and that's great. But if you're a Christian, don't get to that point. Don't come to the point where you have to drag yourself in and say, sin is dominating my life. That's not what God has for you. God says we have the faith, once we're saved, to live an overcoming life. And then what happens? We obtain victory. He that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We obtain the victory that God has for us. You know, go back to coaching for a while. I actually came to grips with losing occasionally. We didn't lose often. You know, I did not mind the few times our team lost if I knew the other team was better than us. I remember when we first got in the football league, our JV team won like 5 or 6 championships in a row. And then I always coached our varsity. Then I coached our varsity and our JV. And that was the first, when I coached them in the championship game, was the first time they lost the championship. Now, both of our teams were in the championship. But and I remember we lost, and one of our kids was kind of distraught, and he kind of got on the ground like, oh, I'm like, get up. I said, man, they shook our hands enough times. When we beat them, it's our turn to go shake their hands. They beat us. They were better than us. Now, it was a close game, went double overtime. You know what? I didn't have a problem with it. The other team was better. But you know what I had a problem with? I had a problem with losing when we had no right losing. That's how most of us live our Christian life. We're defeated, we're down, we're distraught, and God says, hey, that's not the kind of life I have for you. That's not the kind of life that obedience to the Bible gives. We're living, you think God wanted the children of Israel to spend 40 years running in circles, having nothing more than a funeral festival? They had to have funerals every day. I mean, people were dying left and right. That wasn't God's plan, but guess what? That's what they wanted because of their disobedience and their lack of faith. Let's not live like that. It begins with salvation, it continues in faith, and it finishes with obedience. I'll turn over to 2 Timothy. Give me a couple of verses here. And we'll finish up. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We touched on this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 6. Paul is coming to the end of his life, and he's given his little synopsis of his life. And I hope that it would be a testimony we could give about our lives when we get to the end. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, it's here. I'm about done. I have fought a good fight. It's not talking about marriage, by the way. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. What does Paul say? He got to the end of his life and said, I follow God. I followed my path. It finishes with obedience. Look, you know, it's serving God's not just a young people thing. It's an everybody thing. It's not just a fly-by-night. Oh, I got saved. I'm excited. Where are you 3 years from now? But you ever see these people? I get tired. You know, I'm glad. Sometimes people get, oh, I'm so excited. Someone will visit the church sometime and say, that was great. I'm going to be a member. I'm going to join. I'm going to be every Sunday. When they say that after their first Sunday, you know what that means? Get the FBI. No one's ever going to see him again. I'm just telling you. You know the person that sticks out, person that comes, they kind of check it out. They kind of, hey, I like this. They start coming. They start coming faithful. The person that jumps up, hey, I'm all excited about what? We need to take a long-term approach to serving God. Long-term approach. Not just, I'm excited now. Hey, live in such a way that 20 years from now, you're still doing what you're supposed to be doing. You say, what are we doing at church? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're doing at church what we were doing 20 years ago. Faithful to God, preaching the Bible, trying to love people, trying to win people to Christ, trying to honor God in everything we do. That's what we need to do, and we need to do it our whole life. Paul said, I fought a good fight. By the way, it involves conflict. Sometimes there's emotional turmoil, and sometimes there's things going on, and you need to just fight your way through it. It's not always just like, woo, exciting, yay. No, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you don't feel like it. By the way, children live by their feelings. Adults live by what is right. The problem in our society is most adults act like children, so that's how they live. Everything's emotional based. Look, if it was emotional based, none of us would waste our time with each other. I mean, kidding me. Thank you, Brother Carrillo. That was perfect. What did Jude say? Jude said we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Sometimes a conflict, it also involves a course. God has a course for each one of us to follow. He has a course for our church to follow. And we're a success. We're going to be obedient to what God wants us to do, and we're going to go down that path for all of our lives. Let me read one more verse, and we'll finish up. Don't get sidetracked. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, I heard someone preach one time, and their whole message was on a compass. It points north, and they use this word. That's not what it means, by the way. Compass means encircled, okay? Compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? The heroes of faith that were in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As he mentioned here, Paul talked about a course. And he says, we have a course to live. To run in our life. And he mentions two things that hurt that. He talks about the sin which doth beset us. If you think about a race, think about sins. Think of sin as that which is a violation of the race, of the rules of the race. That could get you disqualified. That's what sin is. Sin is disobedience to God. And when you're disobedience to God, we are not fulfilling the rules of the race. And that takes us down. It gets us sidetracked. And then he talks about the weights. What are the weights? Weights aren't things that are a violation of the rules, but they're things that drag you down. You're running a marathon. You wouldn't put a backpack on with a bunch of bricks. You could do that. I'm pretty sure that's not a violation of the rules. It's not very smart. I'm pretty sure you can run in combat boots and Levi's and some tight shirt and a jacket. Not a good idea. Okay? You want to run light. You want to be get rid of anything that would keep you from running and fulfilling your race. How many Christians have been sidetracked? You get into something that they get into something that maybe is not necessarily bad, but their whole life is in some cause that just has nothing to do with God's word. They spend their whole life on something that's meaningless. Or they do something silly and wrong, and they get involved in sin, and sin has dominion over them. Now they're not running their race anymore. What's the point? The point is this. God has victory for each and every one of us. It's within our grasp. But you know, don't settle for second best. That's what we do, isn't it? We settle for second best. Well, you know, this is okay. I know it's not completely what God wants, but you know what? I'll get by. Why would you want second best? If someone said, hey, look, here's your options. I'll give you a $10 bill, or I'll give you a $100 bill. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I'm taking the $100 bill every single time. I saw the most ridiculous thing across the street the other day. I took a picture on my phone. It was like an old 70s Pinto. Ford Pinto. And it was fixed up. Brand new. It looked stock. It looked brand new. And I said, I couldn't believe, how many of you remember what a Pinto is? Explode mobile. They put the gas tank right by the back bumper. And people used to hit them and they'd blow up. And then they made the blocks out of aluminum and the heads would wear out. They were junk. His was all fixed up. So someone says, hey, I'll give you a Pinto. Or I'll give you, a 67 Mustang. I'll take the Pinto. It's a Ford. Well, so is the Mustang. I'm going to take the best. God says, you know what? I have the abundant life laid out for you. May not always be easy, but it's best. Or do you want to do your own thing and get off on your own thing and experience defeat in your life? The choices aren't. God wants us to live in victory so we can honor and glorify him. Let's bow our heads this evening. Let's all stand together.